Thank you, Mr. Miller. Good afternoon. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Get my instrumentality out here. Is everyone ready for snow? I heard a little of both. Yes, conditionally yes here. As long as there's enough snow to keep me home from work and that I can build an igloo in the backyard. In that case, yes, bring it on. Bring it on. All right, I want to begin my message today with a little bit of a story. An inexperienced preacher was to hold a graveside burial service at a pauper's cemetery for an indigent man with no family or friends. Not knowing where the cemetery was, he made several wrong turns and got lost. When he eventually arrived an hour late, the hearse was nowhere in sight. The backhoe was next to the open hole, and the workmen were sitting under a tree eating lunch. Well, the diligent young pastor went to the open grave and found the vault lid already in place. Feeling guilty because of his tardiness, he preached an impassioned and lengthy service, sending the deceased to the great beyond in style. Well, as he returned to his car, he overheard one of the workmen say to the other, "I've been putting in septic tanks for 20 years, and I ain't never seen anything like that." That's from a website called swapmeetdave.com. He had a little bit of a side page with religious humor there, separate section for witticisms. Now, while that story is likely fictional, and for him I hope it is, I think we've all had days like that, times like that, where it seemed like absolutely nothing was going right. Well, how does that affect us when that happens? You know, how do we feel? What's going through us? What do we do? Well, this story alludes to what I want to talk about today, because I imagine after all of this, he was probably feeling a little discouraged. And this is something that I personally have really had to wrestle with lately and consider. You know, living in almost a state of discouragement, a state where I know I do not need to be. Besides that, I live in Oregon. That's a state I want to be living in. The title of the message today is The Journey from Discouragement to Encouragement. The Journey from Discouragement to Encouragement. How is discouragement defined? Well, in the American Heritage College Dictionary, is defined as such from the root word discourage, meaning to deprive of confidence, hope, or spirit, to hamper by discouraging or to deter. That's the state of being discouraged. You're going to hear that word a lot in this message today. But it certainly comes into our lives at times, doesn't it? We've all experienced it at one time or another, and there are many, many things that can bring it on. Ongoing health issues, financial woes, job difficulties, outright unemployment, any kind of a loss, unrealized goals, dreams, hopes, aspirations, a sin we struggle to overcome, chemical imbalances, seasonal adaptive disorder. I think that's something that I wrestle with personally. The trials of life, as well as seeing the society around us and what they're doing and what they're going through. You know, we see it, it affects us, and it can bring us down. You know, I don't watch the news anymore, and I hardly read about it online except to try and keep up with what's going on in the world because we're instructed to do that. But otherwise, I try to just leave it as much as I can out of my life. You know, one of the biggest bringers, at least as far as I can see, of discouragement and despair is the problem you can't solve. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, it remains with you. It gnaws at you and it seems to laugh in your face. It's discouraging. Why can't we solve this problem? What do we do? You know? Well, this emotion, the mental state, is one that can affect us in powerful ways. We get stuck on it, whatever it is, and we can't move. You know, that's quite a list of things I just brought up, and it's not my intention to discourage anyone or bring anyone down by listing all these bummers and downers, but any and all of these things, dealt with and dwelt on long enough, can indeed bring that state on. Anything wrong in our lives that goes on for an extended period of time, but it is not a place to stay. And it seems like I keep having to learn that. It is not a place to stay. When we find ourselves down and discouraged, how do we get past it? And again, I have to ask myself that. How do I deal with it? Because how we deal with discouragement is very, very critically important. How do we face our challenges? Well, in my personal battles with it, I've learned that when dealing with discouragement, we have to change our focus. Change our focus. It sounds really simple and lovely on the surface. Just quit thinking about what's discouraging you and go think about something else. But there's an ingrained tendency for us to focus on what is wrong in our lives. There just is. You know, the negative, what isn't working, who's troubling us, the sins that we're having difficulty in overcoming, whatever it might be, you know, human nature. Human nature, we're wrestling with human nature there. But we must do our best not to dwell on what is troubling us, what is hampering us, those things. For that will lead us to our old friends, worry, doubt, and fear. They're right there next door to extended discouragement. When our focus is on whatever is discouraging us, we're giving that whatever it is power over us, power to bring us down, potentially even incapacitate us. Extended discouragement can lead to worse things such as illness, depression, spiritual sickness, and even worse than that. We must change our focus, actively seek positive outcomes, put forth effort to fix what we can fix. And as we will get to later, we don't have to do that on our own. But it must be addressed. We can't stay in that state, because if we're not careful, if it is not dwelt with in a proper manner, it can be made a tool of Satan to make things even worse for us if we allow it. We cannot allow discouragement to be extended and stay in our lives and potentially consume us spiritually. Let's start in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, Paul gives us a warning. Paul gives us a warning. Romans chapter 12 and verse 21. Romans 12 and verse 21. Concluding his thought here. Do not be overcome by evil. In the midst of difficulty, do not be overcome. Do not allow evil. Do not allow the negative to take you over, to take us over, to make it our mindset. Seeing everything through that filter and behaving accordingly, which can happen. It can happen when discouragement in our lives is allowed to grow and develop. You know, and things that we would normally otherwise understand and know to be evil or wrong, off limits, start to look good as possible solutions to whatever the problem is that's causing us discouragement. We cannot let it swallow us up. We cannot allow ourselves to be overcome by it and allow it to cause us to submit to evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome that darkness with what is right, what is godly, the spirit of light and truth. Like the traits we read of in Philippians 4 and verse 8, the things we meditate on that are good and right. Galatians 5, the fruit of the spirit and the traits therein. It's work, especially when you are downcast by discouragement. It is work, but there is reward for that work. Just an example, something else Paul also talks about in Romans. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verses 3 and 4. Romans chapter 5 and verses 3 and 4. We're going to break into the thought here. Verse 3, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces discouragement. That's not what it says, is it? It's not what it says there. They may cause discouragement if they go on a while, but they shouldn't. That's not God's purpose in allowing troubles to befall us. And we'll touch again on this as we go on. Our trials, our tribulations, and the difficulties in our lives should develop perseverance. And perseverance, character in verse 4. And character, hope. And hope is the antithesis of discouragement. So what do we do now to commence this journey from discouragement to encouragement? One of the hardest things about this is actually starting the journey. You're coming out of a low place. How do we do that? How do we do that, especially if we've been in this place for an extended period of time? Well, firstly, as I'm sure we all know, we have to remember God loves us. God cares for us. He has hope for us. And as we just discussed, he does not desire suffering for us. It sounds so obvious when it's said. But when we're in that state, it's easy to forget, especially when we're deeply discouraged. God cares for us. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, verses that are familiar to many of us. They've been used many times in the recent past. 1 Peter 5. Verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. Again, breaking in. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. All your care. That's unconditional. All your care. When everything seems to be going awry, it's hard sometimes to remember that not everything is going awry in your life. We have a great God and his Son who are on our side. They are for us, Romans 8 and 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? We must remember that God is eager to help us if we call on him, and he's never far from us. Many of the difficulties and issues we can't solve in our lives that end up discouraging us may well persist because God is patiently waiting for us to bring them to him, building that relationship between us and God, working together. These things are often allowed in our lives to remind us that we are not self-sufficient. It's a lesson I keep having to learn there too. We desperately need God and others in our lives. Don't be discouraged, but be encouraged that God is always near and wants to help us through our hurts, our sorrows, the test we didn't pass, whatever the difficulty is. These things that pull us down and can discourage us. We must put our trust and confidence in God, lay it before him, that he will help us pull through, that he will lift us up, and we need not be discouraged. Jesus Christ did this in the prayer before his death. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, this is a passage that's often read during Passover time. Matthew 26, and we'll start in verse 36. Well, I turned right to it. Wow. And we'll read some of the verses down to 46. Matthew 26 and verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. He confided in his friends the emotional turmoil that he was feeling. I can't barely imagine how discouraging that could be, what he was about to go through. And that he knew what he was about to go through. Verse 38, then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther, verse 39, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Okay? Let's skip down to 42. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. Your will be done." Verse 43, and he came and found them asleep again. They had been sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and he prayed the third time, saying the same words. Verse 45, then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. And verse 46, rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Though he was God in the flesh, he learned and experienced discouragement and distress. He learned and experienced everything that it was to be a human being. He had to, so he could be that perfect sacrifice. And he was distraught, knowing what he would have to go through. But instead of falling into a pit of despair and discouragement, he laid his care before God. He laid his care before God. He sought his Father's will, and he put the focus where it needed to be. And he was strengthened as a result. He was ready to meet that challenge. As horrendous as it was, he was ready to meet that challenge. He was strengthened, ready to meet those who would torment him and ultimately put him to death. He was able to face the trial before him. And in doing this, he set us an example. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that's very encouraging right there, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And verse 3, for consider him, our example, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Jesus Christ, despite all that he went through as a human being, all of the sufferings he faced, did not dwell on discouragement from the events that were about to occur, but rather, again, focused on the job at hand, the positive, the end goal, the prize that he would attain, and not just for himself, but for all humanity. He did not allow discouragement to sway him from his purpose. And we can all be most thankful for that. You know, it's interesting to note that in spite of all that humanity has done, God has not given up on us. He's not given up on humanity as a whole. God could have been discouraged with man on more than one occasion. The time leading up to the flood, Genesis 6 and verse 6, he said he was sorry he put man on the earth. And again, with the ancient Israelites and their multiple rebellions. Still, he determined to continue, to go forward, to see his plan through. God and Jesus Christ working together to work the plan, to finish the plan. Isaiah 42 and verse 4. Isaiah 42 and verse 4. Nothing was going to come between God and Jesus Christ and their plan. Isaiah 42 and verse 4. Speaking of Jesus Christ here, verse 4, he will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. God's will, God's plan, they will prevail. You know, it's sobering to think that perhaps if God had given in to discouragement, it's possible none of us would be here now. And his plan for us will not fail. His plan for us will not fail unless we allow ourselves to be consumed by our troubles. Another thing we can do to combat discouragement, continue on the journey to encouragement, if there has been trespass, seek forgiveness. If you suffer trespass, forgive. If there's been trespass, seek forgiveness. If you suffer trespass, forgive. Discouragement can also come to us when we realize we've sinned against God or caused harm to our brother or sister or to another outside the body, or when someone wrongs us. It can be discouraging. James chapter 5 and verse 16, we can address this. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. That you may be healed. Forgiveness, knowing that we have been forgiven by God and by our friend or brother, goes a long way toward healing discouragement of that sort. And knowing we can talk heart to heart with one another about those troubles, those difficulties, the things that trouble us, can bring comfort and encouragement and turn us away from the path of discouragement. In 2 Corinthians, it's a story of a man, having been removed from the congregation in Corinth for a heinous sin. He had turned from his evil deeds and repented, seeking forgiveness. That story is there for us in 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, we'll read through verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Excuse me. Yeah, chapter 2. I did turn to chapter 6. Verse 6. This punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man. Verse 7. So that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. With too much sorrow. That Greek word there for sorrow is Strong's 3077, approximately pronounced lupe, L-U-P-E, and it means grief or heaviness, to be consumed with it, being drowned in discouragement and despair. What could we do to help such a one out of this manner of discouragement? One who had sinned, repented, was forgiven, brought back into the fold? Verse 8, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 8, Paul tells us, therefore I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. You know, when the realization finally hit him of the wrong that he was doing, there's no doubt in my mind that he was discouraged, incredibly saddened perhaps with the realization of the sin he had committed. But he did the right thing. He repented, turned away from his sin. And instead of condemning him, Paul followed and taught the example of Jesus Christ. He encouraged forgiveness, support, love, that the man would not be consumed in despair for what he did, but rather healed and supported in love. Paul sought to encourage the man. You know, when we are beset by mistake or sin, do we not desire forgiveness? Rather than wallow in continued discouragement and despair, things that deep down we know are not productive but destructive, you know, we see here that God's desire is to forgive, to heal, and for us to move forward and forgive. When we're wronged, to remove discouragement and despair and instill encouragement, joy, and love. You know, in addition to bringing our cares and concerns before God, you know, seeing to our needs and forgiveness of sin, there are other things that we can do to move from discouragement when we're there to encouragement. One thing we can do is simply remember our blessings. You know, we've all been blessed by God in many things. Our calling, for example. You know, we can focus on these good, positive, uplifting things. Focus on the joy. You know, perhaps special times that God has intervened in your life, lessons you had to go through, you know, that in time brought out joyful and positive outcomes. You know, every one of us has something we can be thankful for, and most likely some things, many things. Again, we must change our focus when we find ourselves in the midst of discouragement. Change our focus. Another thing we can do, be an encourager. Be an encourager. Mr. Light gave a sermon last month with that very title, Become an Encourager. He spoke of being be someone who lifts others up. He spoke of Miss Nigeria in the Miss Universe pageant. You know, instead of, she didn't win, she lost, but instead of focusing on her loss, she celebrated and encouraged the winner and set a beautiful example for everyone. You know, in turning the focus away from our own pains, we can take our minds off of those things which are discouraging us, off those troubles, and help others celebrate their triumphs. You know, joy is infectious. It spreads. It's a wonderful thing. Or we can be a helper and a light to others in their times of difficulty. And in the process, help them steer clear of becoming discouraged and being encouraged ourselves, knowing that we helped our brother or sister. Encourage. We can also spend time with a trusted friend, talking, sharing, you know, discuss with them what is troubling us or discouraging us, because it's often amazing the insights that others have on our problems. They often are not clouded by proximity to the issue like we are. They step back because they aren't going through the issue that we're going through most likely, and they can see more clearly what's going on and be a help to us in those times and those things that are discouraging us. You know, even if it comes to iron sharpening iron between people, you know, that may be that very thing that we need to hear, to get back our balance, to be pulled up from the pit of discouragement. And then there are times, and I've had this happen too, when we're discouraged, but there doesn't appear to be a reason for it. You know, kind of the blues, kind of down, kind of, Sometimes it may be something as simple as changing something in our environment, whatever it might be. Change our surroundings, you know. Go somewhere where there's good lighting. You know, stand under a grow light, as long as little green leaves don't come out of you and you turn into a plant. You know, increase your vitamin D intake, you know, to compensate for lack of sunlight around here this time of year. That's part of what I think is the seasonal adjustive disorder process. Everyone's working on abolishing the time change. I think that would probably help too, personal opinion. But there are things that we can do physically to improve our mental, emotional, and spiritual disposition as well. You know, improving our diet, exercise, basically take care of yourself, and not just physically, and not just mentally, not just emotionally, but spiritually too. Very important, critical part of that. You know, make sure that we're spending time with God, both talking to God and listening to Him as well. You know, read something that will lift you up when discouragement sets in. Perhaps a hero from the Bible. I like to read about Joseph, and I really like to read about Daniel as his friends. Those, they're like heroes to me. They were very, very deeply set in what God wanted for their lives. The Spirit was in them and with them and working through them. And it's very encouraging to read that story and how things turned out in the midst of something that could so easily have been a source of discouragement and despair. But, you know, Joseph, Daniel, his three friends, they were all human beings who both experienced joy and sorrow, elation and discouragement, you know, just like us. We can consider, too, that laughter, you know, a happy spirit is great medicine. This was something that Solomon wrote quite extensively about, no doubt learned by experience. I will just refer you to Proverbs chapter 15 and verses 13 and 15, where he speaks of the benefits of a merry heart. A merry heart. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. A merry heart has a continual feast, a good, positive uplift. And then one more verse I'll throw in is Proverbs 17 and verse 22, where he says, a merry heart does good like medicine. See, Solomon understood the impact that our mental, emotional, and spiritual state have on us. Discouragement drains us. Discouragement drains us. Encouragement lifts us up. And God takes great pains himself to encourage us, to lift us up. And, you know, when we're going through trial and the difficulties of life, he will lift us up if we allow him, so that we will not become poisoned with discouragement and lose hope. And we know, we've heard this many times, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good, even the things that look bad and discouraging on the surface. They all have an end for good. If we remain close to God and trust and rely and depend on him, those things will ultimately work out to our benefit. And we go a little further in the book of Romans chapter 8, and Paul encourages us some more. Romans chapter 8, let's go back there. I may leave a few moments for the next speaker. We'll see. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. And we'll read through verse 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, or anything that could discourage and put us into a place of despair? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul says in verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, we really look at that. How can anyone remain discouraged after reading that? You know, there were so many in the Bible who were down and discouraged at times. Just like us, God lifted them up and strengthened them. You know, God knew that Joshua, for example, was prone to a lack of confidence at times, and perhaps prone to discouragement if things did not work out. So he told him repeatedly, be strong, be of good courage. The Lord will be with you. Be strong, be of good courage. You know, strengthening him, encouraging him, lifting him up so that he could carry out the work that God had for him. And Elijah, after God's victory over the prophets in Baal in 1 Kings 18, excuse me, you know, we find Elijah discouraged and feeling alone in the next chapter. You know, because Jezebel had effectively signed a death warrant for him with her decree. But God let Elijah know in no uncertain terms, from wind, from earthquake and fire, to a still small voice that got his attention, God let him know that he was not alone. Besides God's nearness to him, there were 7,000 others that felt the same way that he did not bow the knee to Baal. That had to lift his spirits. You know, God always seems to know what to do to help us. And often in very interesting ways, he does this. And he will do that for us, too, if we allow him to, if we seek him out. I also want to mention Joseph again. I think I mentioned him earlier. You know, if we look at his story on the surface from where he was thrown into the pit by his brothers, the rest of his life after that, you know, he had every reason to be discouraged. If you look at everything that he went through, especially when he did things that were right in God's sight, and yet he was still punished for them, so to speak. He could have been discouraged. He could have given up and thrown in the towel. But not once in that account do we read of him doing that. We do not see him in the accounts of coming to discouragement and giving up, because he knew God would deliver him. He knew he could put his trust in God. He did not allow discouragement to incapacitate and sour him. Consider, too, as we've alluded to before, that sometimes those things that may discourage us are often opportunities for education, for correction and strengthening in the Spirit of God. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll start in verse 4. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 4. It says here, "You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation," verse 5, "which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives." Verse 7, "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But you, if you are without chastening, of which you have all become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore," verse 9, "we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?" Verse 10, "For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness." Verse 11, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." The peaceable fruit of righteousness. No more, no discouragement, but hope and peace. Verse 12, "Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed." Now, these words are put here and meant to encourage us, when we suffer through times of trial. We must never be discouraged by correction from God. Because correction from God means that he loves us enough to teach us. Truly, someone who didn't care about us wouldn't bother with such things now, would they? You know, it is a parent who truly loves us, who is willing to go through the hurt of administering correction. As a loving parent knows, correction is not pleasant to administer, but they do it because they love their child. So with God and us. You know, we can look to God for our needs, our wants, to heal our hurts. And we may have to be patient. Oh, dirty word, I know. Patient. But we may have to wait patiently for his answer. But there is the benefit of the development of godly character in us in this process. You know, it's something to celebrate. It's not something to get discouraged about. It's something to celebrate. And there is joy and encouragement in knowing that he truly knows our needs and that he will answer us when the time is right. Whatever we're going through when we're discouraged, there will be an end to it. There will be an end to it. Remember, the light at the end of the tunnel is not a train. Not a train. But ultimately, we have to make the choice. Will we stay in that state? When things are not looking good and we're down and discouraged, are we going to stay there? Are we going to let it get worse? Or will we persevere in the face of that which can discourage us? You know, when we're in that place, will we seek help? Forgiveness, strength from God, whatever we need, because he's right there waiting to care for us. Brethren, we've discussed many things in the world and in our own lives that can discourage us from time to time. Let us beware of discouragement, the potential that it has, if allowed, to destroy us and possibly others. As much as we can, and with the help of God and Jesus Christ, and our brothers and sisters together, Let's work and choose not to let it be that way, to not exist in a state of discouragement, if indeed we find ourselves there, but to journey from it, leave it behind, and focus on the good that God has given us in our lives and the incredibly, almost infinite good he has promised us for the future. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. God has not given up on us. Remember Philippians 1 and verse 6. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I see nothing discouraging in that. But let us remember and be encouraged by the fact that we can do and conquer all things through Christ who strengthens us.